I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, this is your safe space for independent thinking. Beholden to no party, no politician. Just call them like we see them. Narrate the world. We mention the unmentionables here. Tackle topics that other shows don't really get involved in as much. It's not as much headline-driven news as it is. More thoughtful, more examination in what we covered here. I've got I had kind of a chunk of the show today dedicated to a press conference given yesterday, and apparently the social media companies have censored this. We'll talk about it. I'm going to try to find it somewhere else. I'm wondering if it was posted to any of the new competing social medias, the Parlors or the Gabs or anybody that's not involved in this cabal of censorship of Apple, Google, Twitter, and Facebook. Really, it's just it's really quite stunning what we have become as a society here. And I tell you, I am on an absolute crusade against social media across the board. I don't know why people are using it anymore. I don't. I've used Facebook very sparingly over the years. I took my Facebook page for the radio show down. Some business purposes, I need to keep an account open to maintain a couple of professional pages that I have for, I don't know, maybe I need to shut those down. The psychological damage that social media is doing to our children, and I will suggest the adults in this country too. If we can really be referred to as adults anymore, I'm really not sure we're deserving of that title. We are bigger, older adolescents in a lot of cases. But anyway, I'll try to find this. I'm just stunned. I'm stunned. And this is the press conference that several frontline doctors gave about the dangers of this lockdown, about treatments that exist for COVID, just about trying to tamp down the hysteria about this. But it is not to be spoken in our society now. The social medias, The medical mafia, the mainstream media dictates everything you hear, which leads me to my quotes of the day. These are all from Aldous Huxley from A Brave New World. I actually did this before I realized they had censored this video. It's just kind of coincidental that this came up, but these quotes were already locked and loaded for today's show. But boy, they take on even more meaning today in light of just more evidence of censorship across these platforms. First one is, and again, this is Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. One believes things because one has been conditioned to believe them. Another one is, most men and women will grow to love their servitude and will never dream of revolution. And that really ties to my first story I'm going to get to. And then the other one is, I don't know, this one's kind of self-serving. If one's different, one's bound to be lonely. As I stay on my intellectual independent island, in a sea of red and blue partisanship across this country. When it comes to most men and women will grow to love their servitude and will never dream of a revolution, this first story I'm going to get into really shows where we've gone to. And I had a conversation last night with an elderly person about masks, and this person has been in the medical field for a long time. I just listened. I probably could have disagreed with every point, but I just listened. I wasn't going to change her mind. She's an older woman and has got a great deal of medical experience, and she's a big mask person, and so I just listened. I wasn't going to argue with her. I wasn't going to try to make her wrong. There's no point in that, and I love this woman. I have no desire to get into any kind of altercation with her. I wasn't going to change her behavior or her ideas on anything. So I just let it go. But it's just very interesting, the what we live in. Now, I'll say this before I get to the story. Abolishing the police is nuts. Look, I'm a libertarian. I think we are over-policed and have said that since the day I took to this air and have been looking at it for the last 15 years. I'm not one of these people who just say law and order, because law and order presupposes that every law that a bunch of politicians get together and pass is somehow moral or necessary. I think the police are tasked with enforcing a lot of laws that are unnecessary, and there's too many interactions between police, between courts, and human beings in what's supposed to be a free country. There's just too many. To me and most libertarians, when somebody either takes your stuff or hurts you physically, they violate your personal property or your personal liberty, that's something that law enforcement and the court should be involved in. Everything else, like whether or not you choose to wear a seatbelt, that should not be an interaction between you and law enforcement and then a court. Anyway, until I get fired up about that stuff. I think we've been over-policed, but abolishing the police departments is just an absolutely crazy idea. See, I'm not nuts. But I'm also not somebody who is always going to take the side of the police. Every time I see something, you know, you've got two camps. One camp can look at a video of some altercation, and immediately they say the cop is the bad guy. They don't want to know the rest of the surrounding circumstances. They don't want to know what happened to precede that clip that we see where there's some altercation between a police officer, and they just know the police officer is wrong, and they point to it. There's other people on the other side who look at it and they say, well, we can't see the whole clip, and they will defend even the most egregious police misconduct because they've been brainwashed into this law and order that the police are always right. I'm going to show you right now why the police are not always right. It's just nuts. It's been less than 2 weeks since Miami-Dade County announced it would be fining people for not wearing masks in public. Already, Florida media outlets are filled with stories of people who are cited for wearing masks improperly, lowering masks to sip a drink, or removing their face coverings once outside of a store. Thursday, the Miami Herald reported that the Miami-Dade Police Department has issued 162 citations for violating the county's mandatory mask ordinance, which comes with a $100 penalty. See, a lot of law enforcement now is revenue generation. Oh, yes. Large parts of the budget for police departments and municipal governments is made out of fining people. We know the stories of small towns that love their speed traps because that's really how they fund their government. One woman, Joanna Gianni, this is again Miami Beach, says she removed her mask in the parking lot of a Publix grocery store in North Miami Beach when a police officer approached her and wrote her a ticket for not wearing a mask. Gianni told the Herald the parking lot was nearly empty and she felt set up by the police. She's not the only one. ABC affiliate Local 10 reports that Dean Gonzalez was fined while leaving a North Miami Beach Publix because his mask didn't cover his nose. The encounter was captured on a video. In it, an officer can be heard telling Gonzalez that improper mask usage is as bad as not wearing a mask at all. Gonzalez accused the cops of setting him up in a mask trap and said that they threatened him with arrest if he didn't sign the ticket that he was issued. Again, I'll go back to Aldous Huxley here. Most men and women grow up to love their servitude and will never dream of revolution. We have now mask traps, mask patrols. And this is just absolutely nuts stuff. And for even those of you out there who are really concerned about COVID, please regain your senses on this micromanagement, and I'm going to get into in just a second. I guess I'll take a break real quick first. I started thinking about what my life is worth. And this is something that I think we should all have some level of self-reflection on. I've actually got some figures on it, if you want to get into figures. And then there's some more just kind of thoughtfulness. What is my life worth? And it's a sliding scale. Really probably depends on who you talk to. But we'll examine that when we come back. Plus more. Stay with us here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Just about every day I come into the studio, I think, you know, well, I'm going to get away from COVID stuff today. But it's fascinating, the conditioning of human beings around the planet, what we are doing. The psychological aspects of this are really pretty fascinating to me. And I watch so much of the world different than everybody else. Everybody else gets in their camps and your tribes, and then you fight just with the other tribe. I look at it as an observer. I'm almost the guy back with the clipboard. It doesn't mean I don't get passionate about some of these things, but as I watch the extremes go at each other, I'm kind of sitting back, got my legs crossed, got a clipboard going, huh, what is going on here? It looks like we got the people have just lost their minds. Try to dissect it. A lot of people out there think COVID is this life-changing, nation-changing virus, right? Life will never be the same, the new normal, these kinds of things. Then there are a lot of people that think this is just something that's being used to hurt Donald Trump. Now, I disagree with both of those things. And the idea that it's just something about Trump, it just ignores what's going on, the carnage of lockdowns around the world. Now, I've talked about this a lot, but I think it's a point needs to constantly, because people seem to think that this whole thing has been staged just to hurt Donald Trump. That's almost a narcissistic view to me, because a lot of people around the world are suffering from the lockdowns and the reaction to COVID. It's not just Donald Trump. It's bizarre. The world, as much as we like to think it, because he's so out there, I mean, we have this big political battle in the United States, but the world does not revolve completely around us and or Donald Trump. Now, I have gone out with a different theory about this essentially since it started. And I've said that what I thought, if I saw a conspiracy behind this thing, it's not to hurt Donald Trump. Now, will the media and the Democrats try to use it? Sure, of course. That's politics. The Republicans would do the same thing. If we had President Hillary Clinton and this thing was released, the Republicans would be criticizing Hillary Clinton's reaction to this pandemic, regardless of her abilities. That's politics. And the mainstream media would be carrying water for Hillary Clinton. We know the dynamics. But this is not all about the United States and all about this. I went out and said, gave my little theory, if there is any conspiracy behind this thing, it is from the bankers. And I fleshed that out because what I noticed was when this thing first started and I started seeing trillions of dollars flowing to Wall Street and the global corporations. And see, I'm smart enough to know that people got really upset about the $700 billion in bailouts back in 2008 they took to the streets. And I said, huh, this is an interesting thing that's taking place here. They've got us so distracted and freaked out about a virus that nobody is paying attention to the $7 trillion that they're funneling out to Wall Street, bankrupt state and local governments, and the biggest corporations on planet Earth. Nobody's noticing that. I said, huh. And so I started to suspect that if anybody was behind this, or at least the lockdowns, I'm not saying the bankers created the virus and set it loose. I'm saying that viruses are with us all the time, but the bankers saw this as an opportunity. Aha, we got a lot of banks, we got a lot of big corporations that have been binging on debt for, you know, well over a decade now, really decades, but particularly over the last 10 to 12 years. And they were starting to fail back last September. But there was no way they could come to the American people or to any of the countries around the world who were experiencing the same thing with all these zero and negative interest rates around the world that is just nutso, that was bound to result in failure. There was no way these governments could go to their people and go, hey, we need another round of bailouts for the banks and the big corporations. With these populist movements that are going on, the kind of movement that elects Donald Trump or Bolsonaro in Brazil or some of these other populist leaders, Boris Johnson, these populist movements were not going to allow another bailout of the big corporations. But nobody's noticing it now with COVID, right? Well, I think I was reinforced on this belief when I ran across this story this morning. I try not to be a real cocky guy. That's just not my style, particularly not in my own life. But I do want to, you know, when I see something where I think I'm out on a limb by myself on this. Everybody thinks this is either you know, it's a Chinese attack on Donald Trump to unseat him. And just there's everything out there. But I say this is something that's given the banks cover to do things they never could have done without COVID. And not just COVID, the COVID lockdowns. So if you're mad about the lockdowns, if you're mad about the decimation of the economy, I believe the banks are behind that, and I think I just got some proof that I may be right. Huge foreign loans are given to sovereign nations by the World Bank, IMF, and the likes. But the conditions that come attached to these loans are seldom told by governments to their citizens. A recent case in Belarus has exposed the conditions laid by these agencies for loans being provided for COVID-19. The president of Belarus has exposed that the World Bank coronavirus aid comes with conditions for imposing extreme lockdown measures to model their coronavirus response on that of Italy, and even changes in the economic policies, which this president of Belarus refused as unacceptable. Additional conditions which do not apply to the financial part are unacceptable for Belarus, Belarus President Lukashenko said when speaking about the external lending program. Let me get down into the story just a little bit. He says, we hear demands, for example, to model our coronavirus response on that of Italy. I do not want to see Italian situation repeat in Belarus. We have our own country and our own situation. According to the president, the World Bank has showed interest in Belarus coronavirus response practices. This is what he said. It is ready to fund us 10 times more than it offered initially as a token of commendation for our efficient fight against the virus. The World Bank has even asked the healthcare ministry to share the experience. Meanwhile, the IMF continues to demand from us quarantine measures, isolation, a curfew. This is nonsense. We will not dance to anyone's tune. And understand that the World Bank and the IMF are part of this group of central banks around the world. These are the financial elites. These are the globalists. And with these lockdowns gives cover to print up massive amounts of money to prop up what are insolvent banks and cities and states and corporations, bailouts they never would have been able to get away with without the cover of these lockdowns, which makes it appear, it gives the government's cover to come out and say, well, we normally wouldn't bail out these hedge funds, J.P. Morgan. We normally wouldn't bail out the airlines. We wouldn't bail out. And again, the airlines have been using all of their money to buy back their stocks. They've been layered up in debt. The airlines have made themselves as fragile as possible just to financially manipulate the price of their stock so their executives could get huge bonuses. So nobody was going to bail them out after that reckless behavior of the last few years, except now. Now we'll bail them out because, you know, COVID. So if there's one overarching thing, and with my theory, the difference between my theory and the this was released to hurt Donald Trump is that my theory makes sense of the worldwide response to coronavirus. It doesn't rely just on domestic politics. See, this is a worldwide event. The IMF doesn't care whether Belarus shuts down and changes a lot of its economic policies because that has some effect on Donald Trump. That makes no sense. What do Belarus's economic policies have to do with Donald Trump? Nothing. So anyway, these are the people that are pulling the strings on all these responses that are crushing people. That brings me to my next point. What is my life worth? And I encourage this exercise to anybody who may be really scared of coronavirus. Now, look, I don't want it. I do not want coronavirus. I have spent a great deal of time trying to boost my immune system. I have not had a sick day in 15 years. Once I changed over to organic food, more about that tomorrow from 10 to 11 on Mike Madison's Hump Day Health. But I don't want coronavirus. But there are a lot of people out there that are believing now, if you see somebody without a mask, that they are a danger to everybody else. And so I guess everybody else is us, right? We're all trying to save our lives. Well, what is a life worth? And I don't know what everybody's life is worth, right? I don't know your circumstances or your situation. So I have to introspectively look and say, well, what is my life worth? What would be worth protecting Mike Madison, making sure that he soldiers on to another day? What kind of extreme measures should we go to protect me? Now, as I said, it's a little bit on a sliding scale. If you were to ask my mother, she's passed away now, but I would imagine I'm very valuable, and she would probably move heaven and earth to try to protect her baby boy. If you were to ask my ex-wife, it's a sliding scale, as I say. If you ask my kids, what's it worth to save your daddy? That probably depends on the day, right? I think that's probably the same for all of us. Some of my friends and acquaintances would really, really want to protect me. Others would go, meh, you know. It's fun to hang out with every now and then, but, you know, enough's enough. So anyway, so I started just thinking about what is my life worth. I looked it up. I saw it suggested that the elements within the human body are worth about $160. Well, that's just taking all of the different things that make up the human body and taking them and essentially putting them on the open market. Now, if you were to take me and harvest me for organs, I might be worth a pretty penny. Anybody. I've done a great deal of work to try to keep my organs functioning healthily, and I think I've got a good functioning brain, but it's, you know, that market value is for people that are dramatically older than me, most young people. Although as unhealthy as people have gotten, I probably have some healthier organs than some people well to my junior. But if you sold me off for parts, I might be worth, you know, worth more than just $160. But within the context of me being spared the remote possibility of a COVID death, so I started thinking, well, what would my life be worth? And I just wonder if other people would do this occasion. There's people that are very scared of this disease, and some of you may have underlying health conditions, and I understand your concern. So this is just kind of an exercise we can all do as we judge whether or not we're responding to this. So I started thinking, is my life worth somebody losing their job? One person. I don't know. That feels like that tilts in my favor. You know, you lose a job, big deal. I get to save a life, but you just lose a job. You can probably go find another job, or, you know, things will work out. You'll live to fight another day. I'm just costing you one little job. And, I mean, you're talking about taking a dad away from his kids and a friend away from friends and a son away from his father. And, you know, I think that on balance, maybe my life is worth one job. And I was thinking, well, what about 100 people losing their jobs? Is my life worth 100 people losing their jobs? And probably within that 100 people who lose their jobs to protect Mike Madison, maybe some would be financially ruined. You know, most would probably go out and find another job. I mean, to save my life, would 100 people give up their jobs? I mean, come on. The whole goal is, the health authorities tell us, if we can save just one life. Okay, well, let's pretend it's my life. If 100 people, I mean, most of them will go get some jobs, but some will probably be financially ruined. Is it worth my life to displace 100 people from their jobs and some of them will get financially ruined? And then in those that get financially ruined, a good chance that some will get divorced, the financial strain of losing jobs, they'll probably get divorced and some kids will be raised in single-parent homes, split homes, having hostility between their parents during a divorce. You know, is that worth my life? And I believe, because I believe, actually, for every death from COVID, the last number I saw, it may be less now, I don't know, we're still losing jobs and still losing lives, but several weeks ago, they said that we lost around 350 jobs for every life that was lost. Is my life worth 350 people's way of life? You know, I start to think, no. No, absolutely, it's not. You know, I'm willing to accept the risk of walking out the door every single morning. I don't really, I mean, normally I don't make this calculation. What my life is worth is what it's worth to me and my loved ones and my family and my friends, and that's pretty much it. And the ability to, you know, earn an income or provide a good or a service to anybody, I mean, they're all kind of objective things, but we're really looking at our response to this thing, which has cost over 50 million people in this country their jobs, in this ever elusive way of trying to find us complete safety and security and to save lives. So what are our lives worth? Is my life or anybody else's life worth 350 people losing their jobs? And again, some of those people will be financially ruined. Some of those people will end up getting divorced. Some of those people will probably end up committing suicide if things don't turn around, if we have plunged ourselves into a deep, dark recession, which does not make employment easy to come by for an extended period of time, is my life or anybody's life worth that? How about businesses? Is my life worth two businesses failing? Again, I mean, I'm a dad. I'm a son. kind of feels like two businesses, you know, in order to save a life, two businesses could go under. What about 20? Is my life worth 20 businesses closing? People who have dedicated decades of their lives and risked their capital and created jobs for people and provided a good or a service to their community. Is my life worth 20 families losing their sustenance and having to rebuild from scratch? I got to tell you, I start to think, no, that seems a little tilted too far in my direction. Is my life worth the depression and the loneliness and all these other things that we've seen? And again, you know, I hope people are understanding this exercise, this thought experiment. It's not about Mike Madison. This is kind of what I think that people who are screaming for the lockdowns, who are screaming for people to be arrested for not wearing masks, who are screaming for all of these draconian things to be done. There's a cost-benefit analysis, and I don't know another way to do it. I can't judge what somebody else's life is worth, but I really think for myself, if someone said, well, Mike, either you've got to go or these 20 businesses and all of their employees are going to lose their jobs and the owners of these businesses are going to lose everything, I would just say, well, it kind of seems unfair for me to put myself over the hundreds or thousands of people that work for those 20 businesses. Kind of seems like probably I need to go. But I don't think we're making that calculation. I think that most people believe that their lives are so special that everything needs to be done in order to save that one life. And it could be one of my kids' lives. I would make these same calculations on my kids' life, and I love them more than I love myself. I would want better for them. I would go to more extreme lengths to save their lives, but I don't think that while my kids are special to me, they're necessarily more special than the people who own businesses, the people who have jobs, or other people who might die of loneliness or suicide or have their lives ruined. So it's just, I found it to be kind of an interesting mental exercise, an intellectual exercise, an emotional exercise to just kind of put ourselves in our place and say, hey, look, life is full of risks. My life is of the same value. I don't think that, I don't think we should put a bunch of curbs on a bunch of other activities, driving in the rain. I don't think we should stop skydiving. Anything else that could potentially cost a life, that's just part of the risk of living day to day. Anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting. You can think for yourself what your life is worth. And many of you, you know, in today's world, I think so many of us are wrapped up in ourselves that we believe that our lives or our loved ones' lives are worth all of these jobs being lost. You feel like that's some level of compassion, that you're the only person who cares because you're the one trying to protect the most vulnerable among us. Well, I say, great, protect the most vulnerable among us. Quarantine them. Feed them good food. Keep them safe. But don't attack other people. Don't steal things from other people. Don't force other people into life-altering conditions in order to save that person that you're trying to save. It doesn't have to be an either or, and that seems to be where we are with society. When I come back, I have got the kind of headline that the Mike Madison Show lives for. Oh, this is a good one. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Look, I am really sorry to people who have suffered, you know, any kind of negative consequences from COVID, whether it's actually, you know, the disease that has affected you or your family or maybe your quality of life has just been drastically altered because of the lockdowns and the shutdowns of business and social gatherings. Some people have lost jobs and lost businesses, which I think is incredibly sad in this. Some people will miss, you know, I got to tell you, I got a soft spot in my heart for people that are missing these milestones like graduations. They can't attend funerals. They haven't been able to take vacations. And the people who, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, early indications are that the divorce rate is going up from people being sequestered with their mates for extended periods of time. So I really do, I feel bad for people, and everybody has my condolences, however you suffer from this. But I want to bring good news to this show, and I just want you to know, I just want you to cheer up and understand, you know, sometimes you have to really, we have to think of ourselves outside of ourselves, and we just have to be happy for others, right? Isn't that one of the hallmarks of a great human being, is that even if things aren't going great for you, we can be happy for others when they have tremendous success. And boy, have we got some successes here. So cheer up. With the race to find a vaccine for COVID-19 in full effect, biotech executives and other insiders from at least 11 companies have made money hand over fist, raking in over $1 billion in stock sales after announcing positive developments, according to the New York Times. In some cases, and again, you know, we need to be happy for these people, right? All the things we've sacrificed, all of the life-altering consequences to our lives, the jobs lost, the health's lost, the social events that have been missed. We got to be happy for these biotech executives. In some cases, company insiders are profiting from regularly scheduled compensation or automatic stock trades. But in other situations, senior officials appear to be pouring on opportunities to cash out while their stock prices are high. And some companies have awarded stock options for executives shortly before market-moving announcements about their vaccine progress. I think I've talked about that a few times, have I not? Every time you see one of these people come out and tell you, oh, they've got great signs, looks like Moderna's really hitting it, or the federal government comes out and says, we're going to send $450 million more dollars to Moderna, I've told you over and over again, wouldn't it be great to know about that a day or two before they make the announcement of these big grants or these new great progress in these things? Well, it turns out it's been good for $1 billion for the senior executives of these pharmaceutical and biotech companies. In May, the story goes on. This is from Zero Hedge. We noted that insiders at Moderna cashed out some $30 million in options, while CEO Stéphane Bancel has become a billionaire. Oh, congratulations, Stéphane, whatever your name is. I think he's French. I will remind you that Moderna is also where our vaccines are. The Slowey guy that Trump has brought in as our vaccines are, he was part of that. I think he got about somewhere between $2 and $3 million on his stock options on Moderna within 3 or 4 days of him being announced as vaccine czar. So out of that $30 million out of that $30 million, our vaccine czar, Slowey, was responsible for about $2 to $3 million. He made that in one day. So again, it's kind of like I don't think the American people get thanked enough. You know, all these Wall Street firms and all these mega corporations are getting bailed out, and the taxpayers are on the hook for it, but they don't tell us thank you. So I come on the air constantly to say, hey, on behalf of the mega corporations and the globalists that you are currently bailing out, thank you. I mean, I just think some appreciation is warranted. I'm also going to be the one that comes and tells you these kinds of stories. Moderna, the company's market value is now nearly $30 billion thanks to a stream of positive press releases, while insiders have sold around $248 million altogether since January, most of it coming following April announcement that the company had been selected to receive anyone, federal funding to support their efforts. So, citizens, on behalf of Moderna and its executives, I want to thank you for your generous contribution. I think Moderna has received close to $1 billion now. I want to thank you, taxpayers, for your generous contributions to Moderna. It has paid off handsomely, and you have created a new billionaire in the CEO of Moderna, thanks to your federal taxpayer dollars support. Let me see if the story goes on. Now, here's another one. The Times highlights another case. San Francisco-based VaxArt, which is was selected by the U.S. government to participate in a federal initiative to quickly produce COVID-19 treatments known as Operation Warp Speed. Vaxart shares soared. Company insiders, who weeks earlier had received stock options worth a few million dollars, saw the value of those awards increase sixfold. How many of you out there have been really excited about watching the stock market? Your 401k is up what this year? It's probably only up a few percent. But if you bought at the bottom, if you bought the dip, you may be up 30%. And everybody's excited. Look at the stock. Oh, my 401k is doing great. Meh. Vaxart's executives, who weeks earlier had received stock options worth a few million dollars, saw the value of those awards increase sixfold. See, you've made 30% in the stock market. They've made 600% in their stock. And a hedge fund that partly controlled the company walked away with more than $200 million in instant profits. This is all courtesy to you. From Operation Warp Speed, the taxpayer-funded rush for a vaccine that is lifting all boats in the pharmaceutical and biotech space. Vaxart appears to have been a bit of a fraud, too. They started actually advertising to sell their stock on the fact that the government was backing them, when it turns out they're not actually in the final list of whatever it is, something like 19 different companies that are getting taxpayer cash for the rush to this vaccine. Let me see if there's any other juicy headlines in here. Vaxart CEO Andre Fleury, who received stock options worth approximately $4.3 million in June and worth $28 million weeks later. Golly. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, we're creating millions. As I say, I just wanted to bring you some good news that while I sympathize with your plight, if you've lost a job or lost customers or you've been quarantined, you haven't been able to see your friends, you missed your children's graduation. For all you high school seniors out there that don't get to play your senior football season this fall, apparently. For all of those things you've sacrificed, you've created more billionaires in the pharmaceutical and biotech space, and you've given them sixfold returns on their stock options over just the past couple of months. So, see, there's a silver lining to everything, and we should just revel, we should just bask in the success of these people as the American taxpayer is plucked like a chicken for it. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, in the final minutes of this hour, I thought I would juxtapose as I recount to you the tremendous windfall. Six times their investment. Huge stock options being awarded to the biotech community in this rush in Operation Warp Speed, including our vaccine czar, Slowey. Who made $2 or $3 million in a day. Here's what happens for the little people.
In other news, the owners of a Camden County gym are now facing charges after repeatedly defying Governor Murphy's shutdown order. Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti, the owners of the Attilis Gym in Belmar, were arrested this morning and released. On Friday, a judge issued a contempt order against them, ordering them to vacate the gym and to cease operations. Now, over the weekend, authorities say a number of people were seen entering and using that gym.
Did you hear that, people? We've got health terrorists in New Jersey. Did you hear what she just said? People were seen in New Jersey entering and exiting an exercise facility. I can understand why the police leaped into action. You know, police, I got to tell you, on conservative radio, you get a lot of backing. I don't know if there's anybody on conservative talk radio who believes abolishing the police is a good idea. We ridicule it, and we stand with you in this ridiculous assault on abandoning police departments and defunding you. But you got to knock this stuff off. So we've got police down in Miami who are setting up traps for people improperly using a mask, fining them $100, and if they don't sign the ticket because they think that's ridiculous, as they should. See, it's kind of weird about living in a free society. Free people get a little, they get a little testy about somebody coming up and telling them they're not wearing a mask properly in an empty parking lot and fining them $100. We don't like that. But police are going out and doing it. Now you've got police in New Jersey who have arrested two gym owners because they dared to offer an exercise facility. As an aside, exercise, pretty good for your immune system. Pretty good. We've got police arresting these guys. Again, to juxtapose this, I put these stories in order for a reason. The pharmaceutical executives made between, what the story said, between 7- and 8-figure profits. Do that math in your head. That's single millions or double-digit millions in this COVID lockdown. A couple of gym owners who try to just keep their gym open and allow people to come exercise, they're arrested. You see how that's working? What's interesting about New Jersey in particular that makes it especially juicy for just real insanity and hypocrisy, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has continued to allow all protest-related activities to continue without any restrictions, even joining the marchers in person on occasion. But the gym owners had to go to jail. If you are even the most stringent, COVID's going to kill us all and everybody needs to wear a mask, if you are the most freaked out about this, you can certainly still see that's insanity, right? That the protests can be allowed to go on, massive crowds of people, yet this gym owner can't open his gym and he needs to be arrested for it. There's also the story that's come out about the party out in the Hamptons. Now, I think it's a little funny. I mean, the Goldman Sachs CEO was apparently the DJ to open this thing up. It just feels a little, the elites are partying while the plebs suffer. That's kind of what it feels like to me. Although, I still respect their right to hold whatever kind of function they want to, but Andrew Cuomo was so incensed. They're looking at $1,000 fines for people they might find in a video that were violating social distancing. I mean, we have lost our collective minds on this stuff. It is, we've jumped the shark as a nation if this is what we're willing to accept. Even those of you who are most virulent lockdown people, you think that everybody else is out to kill you and your family by not wearing a mask. You still have to understand, we cannot live like this as a country. You do know that, right?
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got to tell you, I love the internet. The internet is just such a wonderful thing. And watching the censorship, the funny thing is about internet censorship, this really makes me wonder what's going on throughout history. You know, when we were relegated to just, three news networks, and I mean, I can point out to a lot of things that Americans, you know, historically are ignorant of because, you know, the media wouldn't talk about certain things. But I just can't imagine, and I'm kind of talking about these doctors who came out, America's frontline doctors, and they came out to talk up hydroxychloroquine, to talk down the lockdowns. These are all licensed MDs. We are besieged with messages from health authorities, aren't we? But it's amazing to watch. Apparently, I'm going to play some of this later. I found it. That's why I say I love the internet. You can still find the truth on the internet. It's just harder than it was. But I'm going to say it again. Why are you using Facebook, Twitter? Why are you using Google anymore? I'm so upset with people who talk about these left-wing censorship organizations and how evil they are, but yet you use them constantly. I don't get that. I really don't. But that's just me. Again, I know how weird I am on some of that stuff. But anyway, there have been workarounds I found on the BitChute, this press conference by these doctors. I'm going to play a little bit of it because I just love to see independent doctors come out and challenge their own system. I've got a whole show on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock where I've had doctors come on and call out their own medical system about their lack of training and nutrition and their lack of advice to their patients to keep them healthy because we live in a pharmacological model based on money. Now, I see a lot of people talking about this video with the doctors. They're censoring it because they don't want Donald Trump to be right about hydroxychloroquine. Of course they don't. These are left-wing organizations. But this is a money situation, too. Hydroxychloroquine is cheap. Hydroxychloroquine is not going to make these biotech executives who were just reported to you are making six-fold returns in the matter of days on their investments and their stock options. Hydroxychloroquine is not going to do that. And do you know how much advertising pharmaceutical companies and the big moneyed interest in our medical system, do you know how much advertising they do on Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube? That's the main motivation. Sure, they don't want Donald Trump to be right, but This is a scam of epic proportions on trying to funnel tons of money. And our government right now, even in the Trump administration, they're funneling billions of dollars to these corporations. I'll get into that a little bit with this this press conference in a few minutes. But I wanted to get into this. I'm going to issue one of my trigger warnings. I forgot to pull up my trigger warning sound effect. I need to get that a little bit more handy because I do a lot of trigger warnings here. It's a trigger warning for any fiscal conservatives out there. Now, there may not be many of you left. From what I've seen over the past, during the Trump administration, there aren't very many fiscal conservatives left, and that means you care about the spending. You know, we usually kind of stand down. When George W. Bush was spending money, Republicans didn't really seem to care. Now they get real incensed when Barack Obama wants to spend money. And then when Trump comes in, they don't care again. That's what's happened. But this is a trigger warning to any of the fiscal conservatives still standing out there. We got an election in November, and I've asked this question before. Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote for those socialists on the left? I mean, those committed, full-throated socialist on the left, or are you going to vote for the lighter, calmer socialist on the right? That's what our choices are in November. You do understand that, right? You've got your left-wing radical socialist, and you've got your more mainstream socialist on the right in the Republican Party, by and large. As I say, there are not very many fiscal conservatives out there anymore. If you don't think it's socialist what's going on right now, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department under former Goldman Sachs banker Steven Mnuchin as they flood trillions of dollars to bail out corporations, essentially socializing the losses. Now, when the banks and the big corporations make massive profits and they do well, they get to keep those profits. When they start having problems with their debt levels and their losses, yeah, that becomes socialized and the taxpayer gets to pay for those. Do you understand that? The Republicans are part and parcel. They don't say anything about it. They're fine with it, and I got another kicker on that in just a second, too. So anyway, trigger warning to any of you fiscal conservatives still left out there. Our choice in November is between committed far-left radical socialists and much more mainstream, kinder, gentler, calmer socialists on the right. The White House and Senate Republicans are set to propose cutting this $600 weekly emergency unemployment bonus down to $200. Until states can implement a new approach which would pay workers 70% of their pre-pandemic income, according to the Washington Post ever-anonymous D.C. leakers. Now, this has come out. I did this story yesterday. I believe this has come out and been confirmed. the Republicans now are just going to send $200 of universal basic income out each week to unemployed people. The GOP proposal is also expected to include another $1,200 round of direct checks to individual Americans, subject to income-based reductions, as well as a, quote, limited moratorium on evictions. Sorry, landlords, according to the report. Also included will be billions of dollars for schools, as well as a five-year liability shield for businesses, healthcare providers, and other industries. Meanwhile, $100 billion will be carved out for the Paycheck Protection Program, which we expect hedge funds and public companies to promptly tap despite its intended purposes. So the Republicans, as I say, you've got the hard left socialist Nancy Pelosi types who came up with this ridiculous $600 enhanced unemployment benefit. We got to go out there and fight them, right? Because we want the less socialist. I mean, still socialist. But we don't want the less socialist right. This is what the choices have become. Now, you can pretend it's not that and run away to a WGOP radio station that won't tell you that, but I don't know how else to look at it. The Republicans under their tutelage right now in the White House and in the Senate are putting out trillions and trillions and trillions of taxpayer-backed dollars to all kinds of different groups of people. Is that not socialism? They got to take it from somewhere, right? Who are they going to take it from? Well, the middle class, ultimately, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. To give it to people right now, that to me, that's socialism. Here's my favorite part, because I'm the only one that will tell you about this little scam going on. There will be no money, this is from this report on the Republicans' plan, there will be no money for state and local governments in the Republican plan, a central component of House Democrats' $3 trillion bill passed in May. Instead, $150 billion from the March CARES Act will be made available for state and local leaders. This is the great scam that's going on. And it's so obvious to me because I pay attention to more than just tweets and Breitbart or Huffington Post. The Republicans are drawing their line on this. We will not give money to bail out blue states. And the base of the Republican Party goes, yeah. But the Republicans know, and the Democrats know too, that the Federal Reserve opened up a lending window of $500 billion that's available to states and local governments. The blue states are being bailed out as we speak. It's behind the scenes, though. See, nobody wants to talk about the Fed. It's not sexy. People's eyes glaze over when you mention the Federal Reserve. That's boring banking stuff, Mike. Tell us about what happened with the NFL yesterday. We want to know, did somebody kneel? Did I hear somebody kneeled? That's the story that really, really carries the day. But see, the Republicans and the Democrats know exactly what's going on behind the scene. The blue states and some red states and red cities, too, they're not near the trouble the blue states are. But blue states and blue cities are being bailed out on a daily basis. I would imagine daily basis. As the Fed loans them pretty much, $500 billion. And if that's not enough, they will open up more lending to them. But the Republicans get to pretend that they're fighting against that so that they keep your vote and you don't know you've been sold out. What the Fed puts out there is taxpayer-backed money. It's printed out of thin air, but it's put into a liability sheet that ultimately will have to be paid back. And it will be paid back by anyone, our children, our grandchildren, and taxpayers for future generations, many of yet that are yet unborn. And this is just another little kicker here. I'll just throw this one into. Also excluded will be the payroll tax cut pushed by the White House, though the FBI may receive a new headquarters as part of the package. There you go. I mean, what do you do in times of an economic crash and when 50 million people have been put out into the streets and have lost their jobs? You build the Praetorian Guard, a whole nother building, so that they can be a little bit more comfortable. I mean, the building's old. They're going to level the FBI building. From what I understand, this is an interview that Trump did the other day, and he's a real estate guy. He wants to see him get some fresh new digs. Now, this is the same FBI that spied on him. The same FBI that has been up to its shenanigans along with the Justice Department up at the top of it. Doesn't mean that everybody in the FBI is a bad guy. before you freak out, because I know you love your law and order, but I think we have all kind of come to a consensus on the right side of things, conservatives. We've kind of come to a consensus that the FBI is kind of rotten at the top. The Department of Justice doesn't really seem to, air quotes here in the studio, prosecute any of the elites for their crimes. I saw actually there's been a big there was a 1MDB scandal that went on with Malaysia. I've reported on a little bit before. And Goldman Sachs got a fine for it. Now, the president of Malaysia is going to jail for several years, maybe the rest of his life. Goldman Sachs, well, they paid a little fine because they don't really get prosecuted for stuff. They just take a portion of their profits from any scam that they run, and they pay that in some kind of a fine, and the executives get off scot-free. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know, with all this going on, the FBI will be getting some swanky new digs at the end of this, as we are $27 trillion in debt. We'll probably rack up somewhere between $3 to $4 trillion on the federal debt. The Federal Reserve will probably hold $6 to $7 trillion of new debt this same year, totaling out at somewhere close to $10 trillion of new debt this year. But the FBI will get a brand new building. Congratulations.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I got to tell you, taken as a whole of today's show, what I've covered so far just in the first hour and 15 minutes, the amount of scams that are going on are quite astounding right now. And they're right out in front of everybody. It's pretty interesting that these things can exist right in front of people. I think a lot of us really underestimate the tremendous number of people. If you listen to talk radio of any kind, right, left, center, whatever it is, people like us kind of wallow in the, I mean, wallow is probably a negative word. Maybe sometimes it feels that way. We slog through this stuff, but we pay attention. I think we really lose sight of the number of people who never pay attention to anything. And that's a pretty big portion of the population. I don't know how many people are really engaged politically, probably more now than used to be. But I think there's still, I think we really underestimate, because I see these things going on. They're not hard to spot. And yet they continue to go. It's because it's so hard to get ahead of steam to root out some of this corruption. Anything from Jeffrey Epstein to, you know, biotech just backing up the truck right now and loading it up with taxpayer cash and stock options. I mean, you can't get ahead of steam on any of this stuff because we're always constantly distracted. Ooh, Kanye is running for president for 2 days, and, you know, that's the story. Or the NFL kneels, that's the story. I mean, it's pretty difficult to really focus in on stuff, I guess. That may be the big thing. I ran across one thing that was kind of interesting. This is a Donald Trump. I'm about to say something kind about Donald Trump, so everybody tune in and listen up. Let me get through my... I was trying to find that clip of the doctors, and it's censored so many places. I finally found a workaround. But let me get to this. Trump did an executive order, I think it was on Friday, on drug pricing. It's pretty interesting. I haven't seen it covered a lot in the mainstream media. And again, it's the same reason that I believe that most of this stuff is being censored on Twitter and Facebook and Google, because they make massive amounts of money from the pharmaceutical industries. The pharmaceutical industry is not interested in you finding out anything about hydroxychloroquine. They just aren't. And their platforms that they spend billions of dollars on advertising want to help them cover that up. That's your Google, Facebook, which most people are still using, your Twitters. I don't know why you're still using these services anyway. Trump did an executive order the other day. Now, I'm going to go on the record here and say, look, first of all, I do not like executive orders. I am consistent on not liking a single person making rules for 330 million Americans. Now, most people's view on executive orders are They're terrible, no good, very bad things when the other side does it. But when we get the pen, we encourage everything because we're a microwave society and we want stuff done and we want it done now. And that's just taking good action. Now, this executive pen then will transition back to the other party and they will do a bunch of stuff you're very upset with. And most people can't make a connection. Oh, maybe executive orders are not a great thing. Instead, you think, if we just vote harder, then maybe we'll keep the office and we can keep doing our executive orders and then cross our fingers when the next guy comes in and hope he doesn't do any. It doesn't work that way. I don't like executive orders. And the problem is Congress sucks. This is why people like executive orders on both sides, because Congress sucks. They don't do the things American people want and a lot of voters want. And so each side gets in and they just with a stroke of a pen, like a king. I don't know if anybody knows our constitutional system. That was not the intention. Like a king, they use a pen and they just do things. I don't like them. The reason that our Congress sucks, though, we have to keep in mind, it's our fault, right? Ultimately, it's our fault. I'm so sick of people hearing people say, we need term limits. You got an opportunity to do term limits anytime you want to. You keep voting in, incumbents back in. On the right, you keep talking about the rhinos, and then you keep electing them. I mean, so I don't know. You need the government to limit terms? We don't even have the power to put people on notice and vote them out? We seriously are that helpless now where we're forced to vote for rhinos or whatever? You know, the left has the same problem. They've been voting for the same establishment for forever, and then we all shake our fists. Congress is terrible. We need term limits. You've got them. Every 2 years for the House, every 4 years for the presidency, and every 6 years for a senator. But you allow them to serve for decades, so I don't the whining on and the primary process is so interesting too. You know, we watched it with Cindy Hyde Smith and Chris McDaniel. You had a chance for a change with that office that going to Thad Cochran and then being appointed. You had a chance to make a change. No one wanted to do it. No one had any appetite. You let the Republican Party scare you away from it. Anyway, enough of my scolding here. Congress is representation. I'll just say that. They may be terrible, but that was the way the system was set up. Anyway, Trump does an executive order, and this is interesting. He's found a way that he may actually lower drug prices for people. Now, up until now, the idea of lowering drug prices to the individual was all based on the out-of-pocket cost of the patient, which I know, I'm smart enough to know. That's code word for the government's going to start picking up a larger percentage of the tab, right? It doesn't actually affect the price of drugs. And again, count me suspicious when we have Health and Human Services being run by an Eli Lilly executive. A pharmaceutical company executive runs Health and Human Services. Pardon me for being a little suspicious that maybe his first goal is not to reduce the profits of pharmaceutical companies. You know what I mean? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, Trump may have found a good, he may have actually, I think this is kind of smart. He's found a small group, a small special interest group that I'm sure has been flooding Congress with money, but they're not a big voting bloc and nobody really cares about them. And you don't have to really tick off the pharmaceutical companies. I think from this executive order, the pharmaceutical companies are still going to be able to make pretty decent profits. I don't think it's really going to affect their bottom line. And again, I don't know this executive order is going to go into force. Apparently, he's given the pharmaceutical companies 30 days to respond to this. But what Trump has decided to do is target the middlemen. And this is his during his executive signing on this. This is what he had to say.
The American people pay an average of over three times more for medicine than the Canadians. Many people go to Canada. I see it all the time. They go to Canada, buy drugs, and then they come back. Prescription drugs, because they save so much money, the trip is well worth it. I'm unrigging the system that is many decades old. We're doing something that should have been done a long time ago. The third revolutionary order I'm signing today will prevent middle men. And women, I guess. But you've heard about the middleman, right? The middleman that makes so much money, nobody knows who they are. Nobody has any idea who they are. They make more money, perhaps, than even the drug companies themselves. And the drug companies, in all fairness to them, Big Pharma. And they're doing a great job in the vaccines. They're doing a great job in therapeutics, I can tell you, because I deal with them a lot. But I think the middlemen make more money than they do, and they don't do much. Maybe.
So, see, this is, I think this is pretty genius. Now, again, I don't like executive orders. But he's like found this little slice of that may lower prices by targeting this really, really small, inconsequential group of voters. And I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies can step up and increase their campaign donations to both parties. The middlemen seem like they are on the chopping block. I'll put it that way. Poor guys. They've been fleecing the American public for decades. I have no sympathy for them, but it is kind of funny. It's like they found that one little, okay, well, we don't have to tick off the pharmaceutical companies en masse to do this. We can target these middlemen. But he makes some good points in this presentation.
They don't do anything. Some people say they don't do anything. Nobody even knows who they are. But the middlemen are making a fortune, and pharmacy benefit managers and people are just bilking Medicare patients with these high drug prices while they pocket gigantic discounts. The amount of money they've made over the decades is too incredible even to speculate or say. It's massive. Some very rich people are not going to like me very much today, I can tell you. I probably know them very well. I probably see them in Palm Beach. But nobody ever talks about who they are. Everyone, I hear the middlemen for years, the middlemen. Right, Alex? And he doesn't know who they are either, but he knows.
Now, he's talking to Alex. When he says Alex, that's Alex Azar. He is the head of Health and Human Services. Again, he's a former pharmaceutical company executive. I don't think Alex Azar is going to usher in reduced pharmaceutical company prices, to be honest with you. But they found these middlemen, and this may actually save people some money. Again, I don't like executive orders. This is something that should have been done through Congress somehow, or really just allow drug price everything through the free market. That takes care of all this stuff, because people would buy around the middlemen. It would have been solved a long time ago if you didn't have politicians in both parties setting up this massive bureaucracy of how we get drugs and health insurance and doctor care. I mean, all these problems are caused by the government in the first place, largely because they're all being bribed and they're on the take.
Because they're rich. They're not going to be so rich anymore because the money is going down to reduce the price of drugs, prescription drugs. That's a big thing. That's a tremendous step. It should have been taken a long time ago, but they have a great deal of power. And I don't have to tell you how many phone calls I've had in the last few days when they heard I was going to be doing this. I've heard from people that I haven't spoken to in a long time.
So there you go. So he's done this executive order again. I don't know what to tell you. It's just interesting to me. It's kind of this promise of lower prescription drug prices has been going on since 2016. Now, we find ourselves a couple of months outside of an election, and it happens. That's not a coincidence. This is a political thing. He wanted to get something done to bolster his chances on reelection. That's politics. I don't like it, but it's realistic. And if it actually accomplishes something and some people don't get screwed as bad on prescription drug prices, then that is a good thing. I don't like executive orders. I don't like the stroke of a pen changing the way that America is run. But that being said, on the encouraging side on that, too, I did find this story as well. A White House meeting with top pharmaceutical executives that President Donald Trump promised for Tuesday is off, five industry sources familiar with the discussions told Politico. Three said the drug pricing discussions was canceled because the major drug lobbies, reeling from Friday's cluster of executive orders on the topic, refused to send members. Drug makers and Trump were slated to discuss an executive order signed Friday but not yet released that would order health officials to release a plan linking Medicare payments for certain medicines to lower costs paid abroad. The provision known as the Most Favored Nations Rule has been lambasted by the drug industry and some patient groups that say it would curb innovation and reduce drug access. Boy, they use that all the time. Oh, you got to pay huge prices for our drugs or we're not going to be able to research. My research has shown that the majority of new drugs that come to market are usually from smaller firms that do all the R&D, and then the big pharmaceutical companies buy those smaller firms. They're not actually even doing the research themselves. Now, that does make the small companies more valuable, so pharmaceutical companies that buy the research biotech companies have to pay more, so there is a cost baked in there. But it is just this laughable thing that for some reason Americans have to pay for all of the R&D so that the whole world can be treated with these drugs, many of which, I will argue, every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock are unnecessary and sometimes counterproductive because they don't get to the root of the problem. They just address symptoms. But I won't even get started on that. There was one thing I wanted to say in here, or I wanted to see in here. Oh, here it is. Trump said Friday that drug makers would have a month to present a better option to the rule. So the pharmaceutical companies have still got a swat at this. Trump gets to do the press conference where he goes in and talks about lowering prescription drug prices. But apparently the pharmaceutical companies have been giving 30 days to come back with a better plan. So we need to be kind of have our eye towards that one. When I come back, we're going to get into this these doctors' presentations now that I found it, I believe, on BitChute. You really? Facebook, Google, YouTube, they really made us work for it, but the doctors are still out there if you'd like to hear them. If you've not heard these doctors speak, I think it's worth it. Look, everybody that is freaking out about COVID is taking the word of doctors and health authorities, right? We watch endless press conferences at every state level of doctors and medical authorities. We see on the nightly news or on cable news an endless stream of doctors in different hospitals around the country who say things that are supposed to scare the bejesus out of it when it comes to COVID. Why is it that those doctors that the media interviews that sit behind the tables at each state level, why is it that it's okay for us to hear from them, but when doctors disagree, and you know, in science, a lot of times people disagree on things. That's how they work through theories and it actually advanced science. They both try to prove their points. Why is it we only hear from the establishment doctors, and when doctors, these are frontline doctors you'll hear from in just a minute, when they challenge this narrative on COVID and on coronavirus and on masks, why is it that Google and YouTube and Facebook say that they are somehow dangerous to listen to? What makes these doctors, they're licensed, registered physicians. And boy, there's an awful lot of platforms that are on media right now and on social media right now that are littered with nothing but licensed medical professionals. Pretty stunning at the lengths they've gone to try to censor these groups. So if they try to censor it, here on WYAB, we try to play it. We'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. You know, when you get a bad prognosis from a doctor, what's one of the first things you want to do? You go in for some tests. They look at a scan or look at something. They give you some bad news. What is one of the first things everybody wants to do when they see a doctor? Get a second opinion, right? I mean, even doctors will tell you that. Hey, this is how we interpret this. This is what we think the prognosis is. But feel free to consult with somebody else and get a second opinion if you want one. We have been living without any second opinions on coronavirus, masks, and all that because mainstream media, our own governments, and social media and the tech companies will only allow the first consult to be aired, and they have been censoring second opinions constantly. I can't even recall of them. The two doctors out in California that worried about the hit to our immune system of holing up in our homes and not socializing and depression and suicide and the deprivation of oxygen with masks. I mean, all kinds of things. They were deplatformed. They were censored. They will not allow us to get a second opinion. This one came out yesterday. This is, get the name of this group again. This is America's Frontline Doctors, I believe is what they're called. I'm going to get that. Let me see if I've got it here. It was easily identifiable in the first clips yesterday, but since they've deplatformed them across the board and tried to censor them, it's hard to find. But I think it's America's Frontline Doctors. This is a group. They're standing in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, I believe. I'm pretty sure that's where they are. all in their white lab coats. These are all licensed, registered physicians. I do not see any tinfoil hats on anybody. None of them look like freaks. They look like the same kind of authorities that have been calling the shots so far in this disastrous reaction to COVID-19. This is what they had to say yesterday.
Thank you so much, Congressman. So we're here because we feel as though the American people have not heard from all the expertise that's out there all across our country. We do have some experts speaking, but there's lots and lots of experts across the country. So some of us decided to get together. We're America's frontline doctors. We're here only to help American patients and the American nation heal. We have a lot of information to share. Americans are riveted and captured by fear at the moment. We are not held down by the virus as much as we're being held down by the spider web of fear. Yeah, that spider web is all around us, and it's constricting us, and it's draining the lifeblood of the American people, American society, and American economy.
Amen.
This does not make sense. COVID-19 is a virus that exists in essentially two phases. There's the early phase disease and there's the late phase disease. In the early phase, either before you get the virus or early when you've gotten the virus, if you've gotten the virus, there's treatment. That's what we're here to tell you. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. You can find it on America's Frontline Doctors. There's many other sites that are streaming it live on Facebook. But we implore you to hear this because this message has been silenced. There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus carefully and intelligently, but we cannot live with this spider web of fear that's constricting our country.
Say it,
sister. We're going to hear now from various physicians. Some are going to talk to you about what the lockdown has done to young, to older, to businesses, to the economy, and how we can get ourselves out of this cycle of fear. Dr. Hamilton.
Thank you, Simone, and thank you all for being here today. I'm Dr. Bob Hamilton. I'm a pediatrician from Santa Monica, California. I've been in private practice there for 36 years. And today I have good news for you. The good news is that children, as a general rule, are taking this virus very, very well. Few are getting infected. Those who are getting infected are being hospitalized in low numbers. And fortunately, the mortality rate of children is about 1/5 of 1%. So kids are tolerating the infection very frequently. They're actually asymptomatic. I also want to say that children are not the drivers of this pandemic. People were worried about initially if children were going to actually be the ones to push the infection along. The very opposite is happening. Kids are tolerating it very well. They're not passing it on to their parents. They're not passing it on to their teachers. Dr. Mark Woolhouse from Scotland, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist, said the following. He said, there has not been one documented case of COVID being transferred from a student to a teacher in the world. In the world. I think that is important that all of us who are here today realize that our kids are not really the ones who are driving the infection. It is being driven by older individuals. And yes, we can send the kids back to school, I think, without fear. And this is the big issue right now, as Congressman Norman alluded to. This is the really important thing we need to do. We need to normalize the lives of our children. How do we do that? We do that by getting them back in the classroom. And the good news is they're not driving this infection at all.
All right, I got to take a break. I'm going to come back with the woman who kind of set it on fire. I can't remember if she's Nigerian or what. She trained in Africa. She's here now as a physician, and she lights it up. If you're a Trump supporter and you really want to see him vindicated on hydroxychloroquine, this woman is your champion. Boy, she lays it out there, but it's great. It's great to hear these doctors come out and challenge conventional wisdom. Again, the fact that they've been censored, and they are, just like I say, if you go in for anything and you get bad news, which is essentially what's happened to COVID, right? We've been told it's going to kill us all, and we've been told we all need to shelter in our homes and be constrained to masks and social distancing and no social events whatsoever. That's bad news. That was the first opinion we got. There's lots of doctors out there trying to give us a second opinion that is more encouraging and more hopeful, and they have been silenced over and over and over again. That's why we're going to play them here. Stay with
us. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment today on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you want to get this show, you can't listen during the daylight hours here because you're probably working between 9 and 11. You can always get this show on podcast. You can go to the WYAB.com page, scroll down. You'll find the link to my Podbean page, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Mike Madison Show, or it's also on the TuneIn app, which you can also use to listen to WYAB programming if you are outside of Central Mississippi and you want to hear any of the great shows on this station during the day. We're going to finish up today with this woman. You know, it's kind of funny to me. A lot of people, you know, we feel like we're this Western civilized society, and we look at some of the third world nations in Africa and maybe Central and South America. We look at them as being so backwards. You know, we've got it all figured out. What's wrong with those countries? Well, this kind of cracks me up because this is an African doctor who has come to the United States, and she's practicing medicine in the United States, and she's looking around and going, what are these nut job Americans doing freaking out about this disease?
I'm Dr. Stella Emmanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. You know, I actually went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, where I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that. So I'm actually used to these medications.
I'll tell you something. I have worked in the restaurant business. I worked with several Nigerians, particularly in kitchens. They are no nonsense people. They get the job done. They were some of the best people that I worked with for getting stuff done, and they bulled their way through it. I mean, they weren't always the most politically correct, most diplomatic in the way that they talked, as you'll hear from this woman now. But boy, there's something about the Nigerian culture. They get to the heart of a matter, and she's about to do it right now.
I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID, patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one, not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. describe hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups. It's a symptom of COVID. So if the NIH knows that treating the patient with hydroxychloroquine proves that hiccup is a symptom of COVID, then they definitely know that hydroxychloroquine works. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay. You're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it.
Yes.
Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you fake doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded, double-blinded. Is you? I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists. We have plastic surgeons. We have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me. Because I sit down in my clinic every day and I see this patient walk in every day, scared to death. I see people driving 2-3 hours to my clinic because some ER doctor is scared of the Texas board or they are scared of something and they will not prescribe medication to these people. I tell all of you doctors that are sitting down and watching Americans die, you're like the good Nazi, the good one, the good.
All right, I'm running out of time. She knocks it out of the park. Good on her. Speaking the truth. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.